Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Apron, whose mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Stay tuned to listen to how you can get your first three meals for free from Blue Apron. That's blueapron.com.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. 100.
What up, though? Today is November 21st. I know that for a fact. And the reason I know that is because it's 4 days from Thanksgiving. I've been really bad with the dates. I've been bad with a whole bunch of things. But what I haven't been bad with are guests. And today's episode, I'm going to be joined by my ex-radio husband, Omar Kelly, who I know everyone loves him. So I figured I would just have him on and we can talk about all the discussions and the shenanigans going on around the NFL. And of course, we'll talk about, you know, all this politics and presidents and people talking shit and everything. So, Omar, what up?
What up, Nick?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm still enjoying this LA life. Appreciate it, the hospitality.
Oh, you know, you family. So when you come in my city, you know, I gotta show you some love, especially when you got your young lady with you. Show her how y'all really should be doing it in LA. You guys having fun, though?
Yeah, we are.
So what's the, I know you were there for the San Diego Chargers game. This is Omar Kelly, Sun Sentinel writer, 560, the bullshit station that fired me. And sideline reporter, beat writer for the Dolphins. For some people that might not know you, I have a whole bunch of new guests coming around. You know, the haters start to swarm.
Yeah, I know.
So we got to still get you out there. Tell them your Twitter, everything.
Omar Kelly on Twitter, Omar Kelly on Instagram. I'm still trying to figure out these Snapchat streets.
And what's your Snap?
Right. You was right. That's the Snap is Omar Kelly 33.
Okay. And what was I right about Snapchat? Because I want to know.
It's such a different medium and different outlet, and the fact that everything refreshes after 24 hours. So, you know, if you missed it, you missed it.
Right.
It's different, and it gives you a unique inside look into people's lives.
Yes. And, you know, Snapchat's my favorite app, and mainly because there's no likes. There's no comments. Nobody cares about you. It's not your opinion doesn't matter on my snaps. No one can see whatever it is you feel about my snap. So that's why it's my favorite app, because all I do is block people and mute them on all the other apps. Because, you know, people just always feel like their opinion on your life is it matters. Like, they really think it matters, and it really doesn't. You know, just look.
You know what's interesting? I read an article recently in USA Today about how liberal and liberal-leaning Facebook and Twitter is, and how it led to people's deception about how the nation truly felt about Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of steered the conversation in one way, which the election showed you was a completely different way, because Hillary Clinton got slaughtered.
She didn't get slaughtered. I mean, it depends on what you consider being slaughtered. I mean, are you saying electorally slaughtered? Yes. But she's actually
electorally slaughtered. She lost states she shouldn't have lost.
Well, yes. But if you want to be correct, you have to know that as of Saturday morning, the votes, you know, the votes are still coming in, right?
No, I did not know that.
Votes are still coming in. As of Saturday, Hillary Clinton is up 1.7 million votes. 1.7. So electorally, yes, she lost. But if you're really talking about, you know, the numbers, she's winning, still winning. She won from day one and she's still winning. But, you know, that's not how this country elects presidents. It's electorally. And I do agree. She fucked up. She assumed, she took the black vote for granted. She thought she was lit.
I don't know if she took the black vote for granted.
I absolutely believe she did.
I lived in one of the major states, and she was there every week. She was there with Rick Ross. She was there with...
Yeah, but just because you go, you have all these celebrities backing you up. They have one vote. They get one. She, to me, did not do some of the things that black voters like myself wanted her to do. One of the major things that I was waiting for, and I'm still not sure I would have voted for her, but one of the major things that I wanted her to do was actually apologize, like literally apologize for calling the black youth super predators, and for that bill that she backed when her husband was president that, you know, essentially became the way to continue to enslave black people. You know, and she still hangs on this thing of, I thought I was doing the right thing because at the time there were so many criminals. Like, you made criminals is what you did. Because to me, if you can go into an urban community and find people selling crack and weed or whatever, I'm pretty sure you can go into a suburban community and find white kids and white, what you would call thugs, selling meth and pills and all kind of stuff. It's really about where you put your energy. Everybody's selling and doing drugs. Everybody. You can't tell me that we're 13% of the population, yet we are 80% of the prison population. That doesn't make any sense. We are not the only people selling and doing drugs and doing crime. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So she hasn't owned up to some things. She just kind of glossed over them and said, well, what had happened? No. So I understand why she lost a lot of, and I don't mean to lose it, mean they voted for Trump. I mean, they just didn't vote.
Yeah.
You know, because how do you choose between these two?
To me, I can't blame the election on black people or not.
No, you can't. We didn't have enough people.
But here's the thing. The Hispanic community, she lost Florida. She lost Texas. And California, okay, she did well in California, but what about Nevada? What about all these countries close to Mexico? A lot of these people should have been outraged by some of the things that Donald Trump planned to do.
But you know what I heard? I watched a Meet the Press episode, and I heard and I spoke. I heard people in some of these communities speak, and they weren't just black, but they are lower class, lower income, you know. And what a lot of them said was she didn't show up. She didn't come to their city like Bernie Sanders came to these cities. And when she was up against Bernie, he actually won a lot of these states and cities because he showed up and because he said the things that the people wanted to hear. Well, Hillary didn't show up after she beat Bernie. She just thought like, oh, these are Democrats. They're going to vote for me. No, that's not how it works. And Trump showed up and told a whole bunch of lies. And that's really what politics is about. If you get people to believe your lies, in my opinion.
No, so, it's true. One day I realized that politics is my background. I just don't do it anymore because it's not fun. But one day I'm going to grow up and actually, you know, do something. And I probably will run for office somewhere.
Yeah, I've been thinking about running for some kind of office in Florida. I don't know what yet. You think I have a chance?
Girl, they're going to pull everything out your eyes.
That's what, yeah. And nothing's going to be deleted. I mean, Trump won. What? How much worse could I be than Trump?
You're right.
I'm not talking about president. I'm talking about some local government stuff,
yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of local positions that are appointed, and some of them you can really win.
Davey. Nico Grimes, mayor of
I'm Davey. Telling you, I will get shit done. Trust, and I will tell the people the truth. And the people seem to right now, this country seems to be into the truth right now. There's a lot of people into the truth, and there's tired of the bullshit. They're tired of the mask and the lies. And when they're hearing the truth, they're actually wanting it now. Like, wait a minute, people are doing research.
They're a little more. The best things that I've read after the election, because, you know, after the election, we went into a how could this happen mode and,
and
an era of discovery and understanding and trying to figure out what's going on with these polls and what's going on with social media. And a couple of things that I learned from this election is, one, there's a lot of people in this nation who are as angry and they want their country back as Donald Trump.
Mm.
And a lot of affluent white communities where maybe these people didn't go out and vote because they didn't really care. But after 8 years of an African-American president, they had enough. and they wanted their country back, and they took it in an overwhelming fashion, obviously, and did it with a crazy candidate. Because, I mean, everybody knows Donald Trump is a little crazy. He's a little off balance.
Right. So,
now this is the man who's going to lead our country. And then the other thing I learned was that even though I am media, if you want a right-wing slant on the country and the nation, the only channel that you can go to is Fox. Mm-hmm. And that's a scary channel. But I think that we have to be a little bit more even balanced. And I think everybody says the liberal media, and it's true. A lot of people who get into this, and I'm not speaking of somebody in this industry, a lot of people who get into this industry, yeah, we are liberals. And, we do believe in liberal ways and liberal mindset. But that doesn't reflect all of this nation, and we need to figure out what this nation is thinking, because clearly we're all base.
Damn. You know, I'm just sitting here listening to you here talk about liberals. I hear people about alt-right and left and all this stuff. And these are things that make me not want to run for office, because I am not Republican. I am not Democrat. I'm just a human being.
I'm going to make
decisions based on what other human beings say they're going to do. Now, in my mind, I know that the president cannot do all the things that he says he's going to do when he's in office. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the power. They don't have the power. They can try to pass things. They can push things on, but Congress has the power. Would you agree?
But he has the control of the House. He has the control of the Senate. Mm. He's got control over the Republicans have control of the governor's seat. And now, I mean, he swings the biggest hammer.
Okay, but he does now. I'm saying, like, when Obama was in office the last 8 years, there were a bunch of things that he proposed he would do, and people are saying, I didn't vote for Hillary this time because she says she's going to do what Obama did, and he didn't do the things he said he was going to do. And I want to say to them so badly that it doesn't matter how many things he tries to do, it's really, he doesn't have the power to do everything he said he was going to do. It's not even
he didn't have the legislative branch.
Yeah,
I mean, he was fighting against the Republicans.
Yeah, so you can't blame him for something that he really couldn't, like, he tried, but there's no way to get around it. If you don't control the House, Trump controls the House. Yes, Obama did not. That's what I'm saying. People said they didn't vote for Hillary because she said she's going to do what Obama did. She was going to carry on his torch. And people said they didn't like that Obama's torch was lit, but it never moved certain things.
You know what's funny? I have a hard time understanding what is wrong with America after the last 8 years under Obama.
Yeah.
We're out of Iraq.
It's weird.
We've got universal health care. It's not great. You know, when I can,
it's a start.
At least it's a step in the right direction. This embargo with Cuba is over. What did it achieve in the last 40 years? Other than oppressing the Cuban nation, like, I just don't get it. Gay and rights, lesbians and gays, they can get married. And that wasn't Obama, but it was still happened under his administration. Mm-hmm. What is the harm in all that? But I guess, I have a different mindset that
a lot of people like, a lot of people do not like that he was black. It's period. It doesn't matter what he was going to do. People didn't like that a black man was in office. And I tried to tell people this all the time. Listen, a black man as president does not mean that all of a sudden black people are not being profiled and oppressed and treated badly.
Yeah.
No, not at all. We're the same. The only difference is I do believe it gave people hope that you can do anything. A black man has been in office. You can achieve whatever goal. Look, now Trump is one, a racist, a full-blown racist, a sexist, misogynistic piece of shit, rude, disrespectful. Like, he's president. So now we're still telling America, you can do anything. Anyone can become president, a black man and a piece of shit.
Even Kanye.
Kanye, speaking of Kanye, I know he's one of your favorites. I know that's your homie.
Yeah, he is.
Did you see all the videos of Kanye saying he would have voted for Trump had he voted, and then he dogged your other homeboy, Jay-Z, and the Beehive. Yeah. What's your opinion of that?
I think Kanye, and he canceled his concerts,
yes,
which I have a ticket to, the one in Broward. I'm hurting right now. I'm hurting, and for this reason, he's lost it. I mean, I can understand. He's always going to do something that's different. He's always going to be the guy who goes left when everybody goes right. But Kanye, come on, man. Like you got public feuds with Jay-Z, and I do understand where he's coming from. If my wife just got held up in France and hog tied and all
allegedly.
Allegedly.
These are Kardashians. You don't ever just assume that things happen to them. Like they plan shit so perfectly. They execute plans incredibly. So that's why I say allegedly. But go ahead.
Okay. But if Jay-Z is your boy, if I heard you got hog tied, I'm gonna be calling you, be like, you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Jay ain't call.
You know why Jay-Z didn't call? That's not his homeboy like he think it is. See, Kanye thinks that Jay-Z is his best friend, and Jay-Z thinks Kanye is annoying as shit, and he's just trying to deal with him. That's what it sounds like to me. That does not seem like they have a mutual respect and a mutual...
Dude, they just did an album together.
Do you know how long ago that was?
I know, you're right. It was a little minute.
You know how
ago.
Many things and Kanye has done since then?
Yeah, but
Jay-Z has had it with him. Jay-Z, and then to top it off, you just proved him right by going on a microphone and saying you would have voted for Trump, knowing that the Carters have been backing Hillary and did a whole concert for her. Like, first of all, don't be on a microphone in front of all your fans saying, call me, Jay-Z. You don't have his phone number? Why you don't call him? If you're feeling a way about another grown-ass man, be respectful, mm-hmm. be man enough to call him yourself and say, hey, I have an issue with you. There's something that's going on. My wife was hogtied and threatened to be raped and robbed.
He didn't even go to the wedding.
But that tells you right there, they're not that close. They're not that close.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay? It's flat out. It wasn't like a scheduling situation or anything like that. They are not as close as Kanye wants us to believe. Jay-Z and Beyonce just told us exactly how close they are to us. Flat out.
Yeah.
Kanye lost his mind in reality. He lost his mind, and people are saying it may have something to do with the passing of his mother. I don't know if the anniversary is coming up. I'm not really sure when she passed. I'm not a Kanye fan like that. I'm a fan of Kanye and his rants because they entertain me. So whenever he goes on a rant, I follow. Whenever the rant is over, I unfollow. You know, I'm not ashamed to say he entertains me, but, you know, I don't really have a need for Kanye in my life overall, including his music. I mean, he does make some great music, but I don't get into it as much as everyone else. And it's just an opinion. You know what I'm saying? I would rather listen to Sia. No shade. But I wanted to we played, I'm sure you were in LA, you know, turning up and everything, but we played yesterday at Arrowhead Stadium. Mm-hmm. And this is my second time.
Y'all did Dolphins a favor.
All the people were tweeting me and saying, please win. I'm like, I know. You guys want us to win. I don't know why people thought we weren't gonna beat them. I honestly believe the reason it was even that close is because we didn't score as much in the red zone as we should have. You know what I mean? But I just truly believe the Bucks are better than the Chiefs. So I wasn't concerned at all.
City's a very good team, though.
I know you believe that. I do not. Okay? I don't. Yeah, sorry.
Why don't you believe that? Because of the quarterback?
Their quarterback, their defense, and the fact that they are in a division that they somehow manage to always win because they – I think the best thing about the Kansas City Chiefs is the coaching, flat out. I believe
fantastic coaching,
but sometimes you can actually just flat out get outplayed. And that's what happens to them in games that matter. And that's why they always make it to the playoffs and then they always lose.
Yeah, I mean, ain't no shame in always making it to the playoffs.
No shame to the Bengals. They do it every damn year, too, with Andy Dalton. No shade to anyone. I'm just saying I'm not drinking the Chiefs Kool-Aid. I believe the Buccaneers, should have mollywopped them in real life, but we have still injuries. We're still trying to, you know, get ourselves back in the swing of things. And you know what I'm saying? Brent Grimes went down. I kind of think he's an incredible cornerback. So that,
hold
you know,
on, wait a minute. He got hurt.
Yes. See, look at you. You ain't even checking on your peoples.
Damn, I ain't know that.
Yeah,
it's
not anything drastic. Second play of the game, he took a knee to the quad, thigh contusion. Mm-hmm. Couldn't jump, couldn't like.
So not his quad all purple because you know he real light skin.
It's not purple yet. And that's what the funny part is. It takes Brent time.
It ain't that bad if he hasn't turned colors.
No. Brent's a late turner. Let me tell you, he's a late turner. For the first 24 hours, see, I try to suck the poison out. That's what the woman's job is to suck the poison out. So I'm gonna continue. The poison needs to be sucked out, and once the poison is out, then the healing process begins.
Answer this question. There's no way you could make it happen in 2 minutes. I saw that tweet. Impossible. that's impossible, Miko.
Brent listens to my podcast. He about to die.
He know about that tweet.
He knows about it in real life, so the tweet don't matter. The tweet don't matter.
that is impossible. If that happens, you need to give out less because that's just unrealistic.
Who says I don't? So anyway, so I was at Arrowhead and I was reminded. This is only my second time being at Arrowhead, and it's so annoying. Both times I've been there, my husband has left the field injured, which is driving me crazy. But I didn't get to stay. The first time we played there was a few years ago, 2012, week one, and we were playing for Atlanta. And he went down, I think, in the third quarter or something. And so then this game, you know, he went down the very beginning of the game. And that's not even why I'm bringing this up. I'm bringing this up because I watched how many people does that stadium hold? What, 50,000 people? I don't know.
Probably 60,000. Yeah.
Majority Caucasian Americans with feathers on their head, war paint on their face, swinging mm-hmm. an imaginary tomahawk
mm-hmm.
in a stadium that doesn't belong to the United States to us. It belongs to the natives.
Really?
Yes, and singing the national anthem. Here's what broke me down. This I almost started crying at the game. They had the Chickasaw Indians children singing the national anthem.
Hmm.
I was my soul was hurting. I was weeping inside, and I was just like, "What is this country doing?" You know, Dog, do you understand that a company called Energy Transfers Partners, they're doing that pole pipeline that's going on at the Standing Rock Pipeline. There's protesters out there protesting this pipeline because it threatens their water supply. A $3.8 billion pipeline that this company's trying to run through their land, the natives' land, saying, this is $3.8 billion. You guys are in the way. We need to get these pipes here. Why is it that this country doesn't care about people and only money? Like, it's really sad. It's really depressing that not only are we going back on our word to our own citizens and people that we're claiming are Americans, like in Flint, the water's still dirty 2 years later, and the government has pretty much trying to force the state to give every resident 2 cases of water a day. And the state is now fighting that, saying it's going to cost them too much money. No, it's going to cost too much money to give these people water. You fucked it up. You ruined the water source. You don't get to say what's going to cost you too much anymore. And now these people, the natives are here on their own land asking us to leave their land as is, because if we put this pipeline through here and it bursts, their water is trash. It's gone. Why don't we care about human beings anymore? Why do we only care about our money? Don't we know that's going to ruin us as a country?
I think water is the most valuable resource that we have in this country. It's the sustenance of life. We're made of 70% water. I definitely think that should be a priority to make sure that our water is pure. And you talk about things that are puzzling and alarming. I mean, the fact that you know, we don't care about global warming or have not paid attention to it or think it's fiction. And
at all.
It's staggeringly troubling. You talk about other issues, the pharmaceutical companies and their absolute dominance on corporate America and the fact that the things that we know can help people, like marijuana, it's a fight tooth and nail because they know it's going to impact their bottom dollar.
It's crazy. It's crazy to me that the people that aren't the billionaires, the people that are living check to check, the lower class, the middle class, we are asleep. We're fighting. We're arguing with each other, you know, and when I say each other, I include myself in the middle class because that's where I came from. I know where I'm at right now, but I stand with the middle class because the majority of my friends and my family are in the middle class, you know, so I have to speak and stand for people because I am strange. I am random. I am not normal, you know, and so the people that are affected the most by these big businesses are the ones arguing with each other. Like, why? How are white, low income, poor people racist? How? That's strange to me, because this is just my opinion, and you don't have to. I know you're media, and you follow a lot of rules and shit. I don't. If you are a lower class white person, there is a privilege that you are given just as a white Caucasian, whatever you want to call yourself, American. You have privilege. If you have not used this privilege and you have become lower income or living in poverty, 9 times out of 10, it might be your fault. That's how I feel. It might be your fault because there's nothing in your way. There aren't people stopping you and hating on you and trying to jail you for the color of your skin. You're given, you know what I mean? And I just feel like if you are there.
You don't have to work that hard to get out of the situation. I hear where you're coming from. But some people, it's their fault because they're stupid. They're below the intelligence level that they need. And they'll be all right. They'll go get a good job driving a truck or a good job working at docks or a good job, you know, and they'll be all right. The same thing, it doesn't necessarily happen for an African American or maybe even a Hispanic.
Right, exactly. So I don't understand how they're racist. How? You're going to go through the same struggles as a black person that's below the poverty line as well. The only difference is you actually have a chance. But all the shit that they do to the lower income, it's happening to the white lower income too. So it seems to me like this country needs to realize that all of us that are lower or middle class need to be a team.
Yeah.
We need to be a unit. We need to be together and knowing that in order for shit to go right, we all have to be together. We all together have to bring each other up. Or none of us are going to be anything. You know?
I think we'll only be comfortable. They'll only be comfortable when there's white leadership in charge.
Yeah, well, they're going to have that. And then they're going to realize it's not any better for you because you're poor. They're not looking out for poor people. Trump is not going to look out for poor people. I'm so sorry to inform you guys. He's not.
You know what? And I've had this conversation with people. You know, I'm sorry, but I grew up black in the hood, and I survived that. I'm surviving a brutal divorce.
You just let me know when that fade needs to happen. Go ahead.
I can survive 4 years of Trump.
Everyone can. We're black. We've survived slavery, oppression, segregation, Jim Crow. Like, if you're black and you're successful, you are the shit. Because the odds have been stacked against you your whole life.
We are the definition of survivors.
Yes.
That's why it's like, I'm bothered by all the protesters. I'm honestly bothered by all the protesters for Donald Trump. We knew what the system was. Let me pose it to you this way. If Hillary Clinton had won and all these Trump supporters had gone out and protested in the streets, we would want something done to them. Because they're un-American, they don't believe in the system. They're fighting against an election, knowing the rules of the election.
Mm-hmm.
And you're basically a threat to America now. So now, technically, because we lost, we've become a threat to America.
Yeah, and the now American we are.
System, like, that's not acceptable to me. We lost. We lost.
As a unit, we all lost.
Yes. We all lost. Hopefully, it's not as bad as we think it's going to be in the next 4 years. But we all lost. We need to suck it up, create a strategy, figure out how to get either the House or the Senate back in the next 2 years, and endure, fight through. As Black people, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Now,
we endure.
Everybody else,
they're struggling.
Learn how to be a Black person.
Now they know how we feel. Welcome to being Black, everyone.
Exactly.
This is normal for us. We are not shocked. People are like, oh, you're just mad because Trump won. Why would I be mad at something I knew was going to happen? That's why I didn't vote.
Yes, you did.
I was like, didn't I tell you that?
I thought you were crazy. But
I told you. I said Trump is going to win. There's way too many white racist people that are going to vote for him. And then on top of that, there are people that are just stupid. They actually believe that he's going to do some of the things that he says he's going to do. And he's going to win.
How he did so well with women voting.
Oh, that's
blows my mind.
That's how y'all all was. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This tells you exactly what America is. There's a feminist movement happening, we thought, between all women, until we found out it was really just Black or minority women, because the white women are not on board.
No, they're not
whatsoever.
Not only did he win despite the gay and lesbian community, despite the Hispanic community, despite the Black community, despite the women pro women
feminist movement. Yeah,
feminist movement. He won despite all that.
Mm-hmm. He deserves to be president. He did exactly what happened, what's supposed to happen to win. And Hillary didn't help herself whatsoever. She did not help herself. And this is her fault. She needs not blame nobody. She did not do her job, flat out. That's what happened. She didn't do her job. Trump did a job. The object of the game is to win. He won. Granted, she has more votes. That does not count. That doesn't matter in our system. He won.
Yeah.
Speaking of winning.
So the question is, does the system need to change, though?
It's never going to change unless we kill all the people in power. All of them have to die. And then we can change it. But if we don't kill them, then what's the point?
Here's the thing. If Trump can become elected president, anything can happen in America. I mean.
No, but he was appointed. He was put there on purpose. There are people running this country that we cannot get down out of their seat. You see what I mean? The president moves every 4 to 8 years. Those other officials, those other positions, they've been there for 20 years. That's the problem. We need to change that part of the system. They need to rotate like the president does. And then maybe we'll get some fresh thinking minds into office and maybe have some people make some real changes. And that would mean we would have to take down the pharmaceutical companies, the Food and Drug Administration. Everyone would need to come down, because all these people, the TV, the media, the networks, everyone would need to come down. These are all the people running this country. I hope you know that.
You're just talking anarchy.
Whatever.
Which we see how successful that is in Britain.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to live here. You know what I'm saying? Until my husband tells me that he's ready to go to Toronto, and then I'll have us packed in an hour. But I'm just going to live here. This is where I live. I don't complain about it. I just talk my shit and tell you what we should have did and what we can do. But I don't need to vote. I don't need to vote for anyone, because no one said one time about GMOs being on our shelves. No one brought that up. No one. They had a debate in Detroit, Michigan, miles from Flint, and it wasn't even a topic of discussion at the debate. Okay, no one's discussing mass incarceration. No one's discussing the 13th Amendment documentary that came out that proves that we are still slaves. There needs to be a 14th now, of course, but these are the things that would get my vote. And if none of you, no governor, no mayor, no congressman, no Senate, none of you are talking about the things that I want to talk about, fuck all y'all. I'm not voting for none of you. That doesn't mean that something's wrong with me. That doesn't mean I don't get to have an opinion. It simply means I have a right to choose whether or not I want to vote, and I choose not to. So you choose for me. You know? That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
It's what's going on, man. This is hold on one second. Where are you going to be Thanksgiving?
Maryland. Just
home?
At the crib.
cooking anything? Are you cooking? She cooking? What's going on?
Yes, we're supposed to cook something. I don't know what it is. Probably some. I have a Brussels sprouts dish that's pretty good.
Okay.
So hopefully, you know.
Well, let me. Have you ever heard of Blue Apron?
No, I have not.
You've never heard of Blue Apron? So good. Let me tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron is a company that will deliver meals to your home, fresh ingredients, non-GMO. Your chicken won't have steroids in it. It's fresh to your door, packaged. You know, they put the ice, the dry ice in there and make sure it's refrigerated. And it comes to your door with every single ingredient needed to make the dish. And what you do is you go on blueapron.com and they have a selection of meals for the week, weekly meals. These meals never repeat throughout the entire year, and they're all seasonal. So if it's summer, you'll get summer recipes. If it's fall, you get fall, winter. And each meal is approximately $10 per person. So you can pick a two-person meal or you can pick a family meal, which feeds four people. And it's going to be $10 per person. Okay. Where can you get that at in any restaurant?
I'm not even sure. You can do that at the grocery store.
At the grocery store. Exactly. So they deliver it to your home. All of the ingredients, every single ingredient. Have you ever been at home cooking and you were like, damn, I forgot the butter? And everything's off now, right? Well, Blue Apron gives you every single meal. It's all measured, okay? So you don't have to be like, well, I don't have enough of this or enough of that. It has step-by-step instructions on exactly how to cook every single portion of the meal. I have been dealing with Blue Apron, I'm going to say, about 3 years now, and I haven't had a meal yet that I didn't like. Now, my mother-in-law does not cook. She cooked the other day. She cooked beef and broccoli with jasmine rice and squash. Literally, she put it on Facebook and everything. Like, I couldn't believe it. And she did it. And Brent and I went to a charity event and we came home and I ate the food and it was so good. And she doesn't even cook. So anybody can do this. Anybody. You have to try it, Omar. You have to go there.
And
yes. And because they are my sponsor, they are giving 3 free meals with free shipping if you go to blueapron.com/Miko. And the meals for this week, they have a balsamic glazed onion cheeseburger, chicken and kale Caesar salad, smoked trout, spinach and ricotta cheese pizza, Thai green coconut curry, spicy black rice noodles. That's for the 2-person plan. And the 4-person plan, they have seared chicken thighs, pan-seared cod, bucatini bolognese, and a udon noodle soup. These are all things that you can get for $10 per person on blueapron.com. And it tastes good. It's good for you. It has all the fresh ingredients. It's under $10 per person. So check out this week's menus and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Miko. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Miko. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Boom. You gonna try it?
Definitely.
I'm having a challenge in November. You might not make it, though, because. Although, I heard the deliveries are coming on Wednesday. They normally come on Fridays, but the deliveries are coming on Wednesday this week because of Thanksgiving. But you know what I'm doing, Omar? Anyone that goes on Blue Apron and makes the meal and posts the meal on Instagram, I'm going to choose the best meal. And whoever that person is, Team Grimy is giving them 2 tickets to any sporting event in their hometown.
That's dope.
Right?
Now, can you pick the meal? Can you pick the meal
yes.
that you have?
You pick your own meal. You pick your own meal. Dope, right?
Definitely.
It's going down. It is really going down. I'm excited about it, too, because I really think people should cook more at home. It just brings families together. It's kind of fun, and you get to learn from each other and all those good things.
You know I'm all about the cooking.
I know. I'll be seeing you on Snapchat. I try to cook more often because I know you're always like, why don't you cook more? You used to do so much more.
Yep.
I'm trying. Let's jump subjects real quick. I know we got to talk about this Sage deal versus Mikro Grimes thing. I know everybody want to hear. Give me your opinion of what happened and be honest, okay? Because I know you feel a way about some of the shit I said to her. Be honest.
Yeah, yes, you went way too gangster for somebody who's not ready for that. Nobody's ever talked to her like that in her life.
I know.
I never heard what she initially said, so I didn't know what the antithesis or what got you to that point. So I never heard what she initially said, but I did see and hear her reaction to it.
That 777 Facebook page thing that she sent indirectly to me?
Yes. And the way the nation responded to her, like, woo, bad luck for you.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't like when you gangsta on people. I know who you are. I know what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know always where it's coming from. So I know if you're going in on somebody, they probably deserved it. Now, I don't think she was ready for it. I don't think and I don't think we're ready for people who have viewpoints like her.
Well, the thing is, she's an Uncle Tom. That's flat out what it is. She lives in a white world. She's got nappy, kinky hair, but she's not black. She doesn't even want to be black. I already knew this about her. My first tweet to her was nice and polite. Everyone left that out of the rant. The very first tweet I sent to her, I said, listen, Sage, I'm trying to respect you as a black journalist, but you really are crossing the line by coming at, first of all, why doesn't she know that if she come at a Buccaneer that I'm on her motherfucking ass? Why doesn't she know that? She don't know who I am? Is she going to act like she don't know who I am now?
She lives in a basketball world. She don't live in the NFL world.
She know who I am. I've tweeted her before. Yeah. People just don't know it. Sage still has been letting us know that she's white for a long time. She's done little subtle things here and there in media that I've picked up on. But I let her chill because I always just said she's a black journalist. I'm going to try to give us, you know, it's not that many of us out there. So I just give her passes. You know what I mean?
But here's the thing. All black journalists do not have to hold up the glove and just support.
No, I didn't say she do. I didn't say she does. I say the people that are quiet, because most of the black journalists are quiet about a lot of these things, because the reason I say you should be quiet is if you're on the wrong side of this, you're going to get embarrassed. Because Sage Steele is outraged and heartbroken and upset that Mike Evans sat in protest of the national anthem, but she has never discussed how that's a hoax, a bullshit ass ploy to sell more tickets and get enlistment numbers up. Like, how are you a journalist and you haven't done your due diligence to know that that is being reported by everyone now that I've brought it up? All of a sudden everybody's talking about it now. How does she not know that? How is it that she couldn't go and Google his interview where he flat out said, I love and respect the military, has nothing to do with them? Why does she overlook that and go off on him about it hurting her because her father's a veteran?
Okay, I don't think a lot of people do, and that's the problem with social media. I don't think a lot of people, before they put out their opinions, educate themselves about it. And as journalists, we should.
She's a journalist. There's no excuse. A sports journalist of as if it could be any worse. She's a sports journalist. She's privy to a lot more information than the average fan who's talking shit.
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing, but here's the thing. All of us do not have to believe in or fight for the cause.
Right.
And I understand why most of us don't, because for years when I wrote anything related to race, which is why I don't write anything related to race, there used to be a man who used to drive up my driveway, drive up my house, and tear my lawn with his big old truck with his tires.
Oh, hell no.
And knock over, to the point where the FBI had to investigate it, to the point where he would, and he'd always run over my mailbox anytime. And this is just the world that we live in. Unfortunately, people don't realize that that's what you have to endure and go through when you have your what they call an influencer, and you have an opinion on something race related, and you share that with the world. Then you got to deal with the hate that comes with it.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like Sage still tore her motherfucking drawers. When I ripped on her, she should have just let it go. She wrote that 700 and something, word dissertation, and she pretty much proved me right. Everything that I was calling her, she thinks because she's sucking a white dick every night that if the revolution takes place, that the white people ain't going to be like, get over there, nigger. You're over there. Okay? I don't care that your hair beads up in the water. Okay? You're not one of us. You're not. And I don't understand why she doesn't feel like there's a problem with the way the black people are being treated. She really feels like it's something that we need to fix ourselves. Like we should be happy that, did you hear this bitch say we should be praising her husband for even marrying her, for marrying a black woman? Like we not everything. Like bitch, you should have been like, this nigga's lucky he got me. That's why I'm over here lit, because he's happy he got me. She's telling us we should be happy that he even like lowered his standards and got with her. She's praising her white husband and her white mother for their bravery, but never highlights her father, who actually was the one in jeopardy of ruining his life or being killed for dating a white woman at that time. That's bravery. Bravery ain't choosing black dick. Bravery is choosing white pussy. In the 60s, you see what I'm saying? Like, what is she thinking about? That's why I had to kill her, Omar. I had to kill her. I had to let her know you are dead to me, okay? You're dead.
Well, I think she's dead to a lot of people in the country because I think she embarrassed herself with her views.
Good.
Now, everybody has a right to their own views, and their views are based on their experiences. She's probably lived a privileged life.
Very privileged.
Just the reality of it.
Kate Upton. People were somehow confused and thinking that I had an issue with Kate Upton standing up for her man who didn't win the Cy Young Award. Why would I care? I don't even get it.
You know what I think it is? Anytime a woman comes out and supports her man in the sports arena, and Gabrielle Union is a perfect example of this. Now, everybody correlates it to the most loud and vocal wife that they know, which happens to be you.
Right, but why would people think that I was hating on her supporting her man? Not one single tweet have I ever even tweeted about what she's doing with her man. Like, what? I got bothered because people compared us, and I said, we're not alike. I'm an actual sports reporter. Some of the things that I talk about are valid because I know the game. I'm pretty sure Kate Upton knows nothing about baseball. She can't even count the fact that he lost because he had less votes, period. Doesn't matter how many first place votes. He has the least. He didn't win total. So, but that's her. She has every right to say whatever the fuck she wants, go off on whoever she wants. I applaud any woman that has a voice and has the balls to actually voice it on social media. I applaud that. Yeah. But then these white men started coming at me saying, oh, you're just mad because not only is she doing her rant better than you, she's prettier than you. What?
Mm.
What? I had to murder her. She's probably the worst built supermodel I've ever seen in my life. I don't even know how she is a supermodel. It's the titties is what everybody keeps telling me. It's the titties. And I'm like, that's all you got to do is have big titties and blonde hair and blue eyes and you could be on the cover of Sports Illustrated 3 times? God damn.
Pretty much.
Shaped like a Samsung charger on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Wow. White America, listen to me, okay? I don't have a problem with Kate Upton or anybody else voicing their opinion about anything. Stop comparing her to me, though. We're not alike, and I look better than her. My body's better than her. My face is prettier than her, with or without makeup. And I'm 41. She's 24. Knock it off.
She's 24?
She's 24.
Wow.
Wow, exactly.
Did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Now you know.
Yeah.
Switch gears. I know you want to talk about this. Everybody's talking about these three teams that are on a 5-game win streak, Giants, Cowboys, Dolphins. Which team is going somewhere? Go on ahead and talk about your Dolphins. Get it off.
No, I'm not going to say they're going somewhere because right now they just lost all three of their top offensive linemen and and you know how they are when their offensive line isn't very good. Ryan Tannehill's going to struggle. He pulled a miraculous victory out.
I heard about this two-touchdown drive in 7 minutes or something like that.
He threw 11 straight completions, and I'm not talking like dump-off pass. I could not.
I saw one of the touchdowns that he threw in the corner right by the orange goal line.
Yeah.
I saw that one on a highlight, but I was flying back from Kansas City, so my Twitter was blowing up, and I'm like, people are saying Ryan Tannehill is such a bum. Like, all I kept saying, Miko's right. And I'm like, what happened? What did he do? And come to find out, I guess he had been stinking it up the whole game into the last 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened prior to those last 7 minutes? What was going on?
The conditions, it was raining the whole game. Raining the whole game. The Rams, they got a forceful defensive line, so they weren't able to run the ball. They only converted one of 11 third downs the entire game. They kept throwing these screen passes and quick digs, and it wasn't working. It wasn't successful. But then all of a sudden, they went to the hurry-up offense, and the Rams just couldn't adjust. I have to think that Jeff Fisher somehow – you had to figure out a way to rattle Ryan Tannehill, and they were unable to do it with three backups on an offensive line. So,
fatigue.
I gotta give him all the props in the world, because it was an impressive performance on those two drives. I mean, he looked like trash the whole game, except for those two drives, and that's all you needed to win, pull out that victory.
So, can we exclude the Dolphins from one of the teams that's won five in a row that's actually going somewhere? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no doubt. I think that they will have a winning season. I think that they'll be in the playoff picture. Maybe they can get a wild card. The Bucs beating Kansas City definitely helps them.
You're welcome.
In that regard, but
you're welcome.
Yeah, I don't think they're for real. And in fact, they're paper thin. And I would like to say that I believe in them. They have truly changed the culture, no doubt about it. They used to be a bunch of quitting bitches. and you know I've said that for years.
I know you have. I'm glad you said it, not me.
Yes, they used to be a bunch of soft-ass quitting bitches. And they are anything like from the furthest from that. I mean, what I respect about Adam Gase is he turned this over to Jarvis Landry's team. Jarvis Landry is out there on the field, and he acts like an asshole every single game.
Jarvis has always been an asshole. It's so funny that people don't know him and Odell are twins, low-key.
Yeah. Jarvis acts like an asshole the whole game, but he sets the tone for the entire team, and they are not going to back down from anybody.
I think they're tired of being called the dumpster fire in the AFC East. That could be...
Yeah.
You know, they might be fired up. They're probably like, fuck this. I'm tired of being the bums. I'm tired of everybody talking about us. Nobody believes in Tannehill. Like, nope. Maybe the Dolphins believe in Tannehill, but the general NFL population of fans and coaches, no one believes in Tannehill, and that's their quarterback. And it looks like they're willing to fight for him, where the other teams were not willing to fight for him at all. They were convinced that he's a bum. You know everybody wanted Matt Moore to play the last few years. And Tannehill.
Yeah, I think that's turned a little bit. I mean, he's pulled off now three straight fourth quarter comeback victories, and one of them really was more of special teams than him, but he got the ball. And
the quarterback is responsible for the wins and the losses, so don't take it away from him. Don't say the special team. You have
to give it to him, Omar.
I'm giving it to him.
He will get his $17 million next year. You know,
okay.
Like, there was a point where
Didn't I tell you he would? I told you he would.
Yeah. He is the quarterback here. Adam Gase is telling how he came here for Ryan Tannehill.
Watch out.
I give all the credit to Gase, because he is the architect of this turnaround. Their culture has changed, and I got to credit it to Gase, because from the start, Gase has stepped up and stood up and said, "This is my bad. I was responsible for this. This went wrong. I need to change this." Everything. Like, he's taken ownership of the things that have gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And from the 1-4 start, he always took ownership of the things that went wrong. And it funneled all the way down to the team, to the point where now when people out there gap,
mm-hmm.
or when people have a busted coverage, they raising their hand and they're like, "Oh, that was my bad. You don't even have to ask them. Like, I'm responsible for that 30-yard run that Matt Forte had, or I'm responsible for that touchdown that that this receiver scored. And you're like sitting there like, wow, this is like, you usually have to dig, and then people be like, no, it ain't my fault, it's his fault, he did it. You know what that's like.
Yes, I do. And been there. Been there.
Yeah, you know what that's like. The blame, the finger pointing is something that the Dolphins got really good at, and now it's about accountability. So,
well, that's good. I have to say this. And this is me being a true journalist. The only win that the Dolphins have this season that I respect is the Bills win. The rest of these wins, I mean, they beat.
Why?
First of all,
Steelers. Come on,
the Steelers are so bad. They're terrible. They are terrible. Everybody knows this, Omar. They are terrible. Okay, so do not do that. Don't do that. They are terrible.
I think the Steelers might be the AFC North representative.
What would you like to bet on it? Would you like to place a wager on the Steelers?
Who you got coming out of that division?
The Ravens, more than likely, and the Dolphins will have to play them in 2 weeks. That's not the point.
I'd like to put a wager. I'd like to put a wager on that.
We can talk about that on off air. But I only respect the Bills win. I don't respect the Browns win. I'm sure you know why. I don't respect the Steelers win. I don't respect the Chargers win, and I damn sure after hearing what happened in L.A., I don't respect the Rams win either. Those are still wins. I cannot take wins from an organization.
Nobody's win from them.
Listen, I'm not taking them. I'm saying I don't respect them, meaning the question is who's going somewhere. This is why I don't say I'm saying they're not going anywhere. They have a chance to be another terrible team next week, the 49ers.
Yeah.
Another win could be. Yeah. The Ravens, after that, that's going to be a struggle. The Cardinals, that's going to be a struggle. The Jets is always a good game. They got to see the Bills again and then the Patriots. Of these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games, who do you see them beating in those 6 games?
I think if they can manage somehow to pull off another 3 victories, they will have had an impressive season.
What's that? Because it's a winning season, right?
Yes, it's a winning season.
Who do you think they're going to beat outside of 49ers? We both agree they should beat the 49ers, right?
Well, it should be the 49ers, probably should be the Bills, and maybe they can sneak out a victory somewhere, maybe the Jets or the Cardinals or the Ravens. I don't think they're going to beat the Ravens. That's just me personally.
Right, I don't think so either. Well, you know what? I'm going to give them a 49ers win, and probably I'm going to go with the Jets. That's it. I'm not sure they get 9 wins this year. I would love for them to, because my family, they are hype. They are lit. They are excited. I hope it happens for them. You know, I don't like the organization. You know that. But the players on the field deserve to win because they have put in the work.
Yes.
They have been working their ass off all season. So they deserve what's happening to them right now.
Definitely.
So the Giants, you have something else to say about that?
No. In regards to the 5 wins, I mean, Dallas is clearly the best team in the NFL right now. A lot of people will say the Patriots, but I mean, come on, Dallas is.
You can't say the Patriots aren't the best team in the NFL. You can't. That doesn't even make any sense. I can't even form my lips to say that the Cowboys are better than the Patriots. I cannot. And I am on board. I am on the bandwagon of Dak and Zeke. I'm on the bandwagon, okay? But it is the Patriots. So we're not talking about the Patriots right now because they don't have 5 games in a row win. We ain't talking about them. The Cowboys, they're on to something, right?
The fact that the Patriots are still trying to find their way on defense after trading their top defensive player, I think that's going to create a little bit of an adjustment. Not to say the Dallas defense is that great or
we're not talking about, we're not comparing the Cowboys and the Patriots. Knock it off. Because then I'm going to have to kill you and tell you that Tom Brady was born in a manger. Like, come on.
Yeah. it's true.
The Cowboys are going to have to beat them. They're going to have to flat out beat them before I agree.
Right.
But the Cowboys, stay on track because I know some Cowboy followers, they listen to this. The Cowboys are legit, right? They're legit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They're legit. Super Bowl contender, right? NFC,
yeah, absolutely. No question,
NFC winner. Definitely of their division. Going to the Super Bowl. You, I would bet on that today.
Yeah, I'd bet on it, too.
So let's move on.
I put money up.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Giants, what do you think?
No, I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it. Why is that?
I watched them play too many times, and I just don't buy that defense. I don't buy that defense. I'm not an Eli Manning fan. They could put up good numbers, but can they deliver in the clutch? I just don't buy the Giants as a team and an organization.
I feel you. A lot of people don't respect Eli.
Yeah.
It's hard.
There's a reason they don't respect
Eli. Tell me why.
Because there's no fire in Eli's belly. There's no emotion to him. He's not. Yes, he's been clutch in Super Bowls, but how often? And he has good numbers, and that's the thing.
Right?
He can rally the teams from behind. So let me not say that, but I just don't believe that he can carry an organization, and that's what they're asking him to do this year.
Well, he's done it though. He's carried an organization. He's carried them before. I think that a little bit of the issue with Eli is he's slowly becoming washed. Like slowly. You know what
like
I mean?
Like his brother?
Yeah, he's slowly becoming washed. He's still a good quarterback. There's a lot of teams that would still want Eli.
I think they need to put more resources into their offensive line for him.
Well, they spent all their money on defense, and it's actually paying off. You know, their defense is playing quite well, right? Would you agree?
Yeah, no doubt. It's getting better. I think they mismanaged their resources and money doing that. But, hey, more power to them.
I understand.
If it allows the GM to keep his job, props to him. Because he's one of the better GMs in the league. And, you know, when black people get fired, we don't get a second chance.
You want him to hang on?
I'm just saying. That's the truth.
No, I feel you.
That's the truth.
He's going to be gone, but
you
know what?
You ain't getting no second opportunity.
Right. You know, I spoke about how some of these GMs be keeping their jobs, and I ain't even going to get into it. But when you black, you're not included in that statistic.
Yeah.
So if he does lose his job, we may never hear from him again.
These coaches and GMs, they get recycled like you don't know what, but don't be black.
Don't be black. Don't have that melanin. Do not have that melanin because you might be homeless. You might be never heard of again. So they're 5 wins. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Rams. They beat the Eagles. They beat the Bengals. And then they beat the Bears. Now, the reason that a lot of people don't respect these 5 wins is obviously because the Rams were in there. The Bears were in there. I do respect the Eagles win a lot more than any other ones, and that's because of the rivalry also, and the Eagles are playing well, you know? They're a team that's you know, playing well, got a young quarterback too, but playing well. They barely beat the Bengals, which isn't a team that's playing incredible. So I'm on the fence about the Giants being great. The only reason that I give them any type of a little bit of an edge is because they do have Odell. Who can at any moment give you 200 yards on somebody. He could go either way. And they have a really good defense. And so if they do make it to the playoffs, that's when your defense really matters in the playoffs. Because teams are going to game plan against you and take something away from your offense. And it's up to your defense to then step in and take something from another team. Because you only get one game. It's not like a NBA playoffs or a hockey where you get like a 5 or 7 game series. It's one game, and you could be out coached on any given Sunday. You know, so having a good defense helps you to not be out coached. Because if another team takes something from your offense, you can have a backup of a good defense to take something from them. You know, so
definitely.
I'm straddling with them. I'm straddling.
You know, what do you think about the Redskins? Because I'm a Kirk Cousins fan.
Why? You think he's dope, or you just think he gets it done? Because I don't think he's dope. I just think that he gets stuff done.
No, he's got a moxie to him that I'm drawn to. I am drawn to that Joe Flacco type quarterback that's just got a big set, just a
big sweaty set, huh?
Just a big nasty set. Where he got to buy pants like another extra size bigger just because it's set too large. They just can't fit in his pants. And Kirk Cousins plays balls out.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that.
Yeah, he Kirk Cousins is the type of guy, even if he doesn't have all the qualities that the best quarterbacks have, he's one of those guys you don't mind having on your team because you know that he's not going to quit. It's nothing about him that's pussy.
He's not gonna wilt and just go away and hide. Nah, he gonna ball out.
He's gonna show up.
Did you see the clip where he goes up to the GM? And I forget what he said, but it was basically like, "Yeah, how you like me now? Give me my money."
I did not see that. I didn't. Man, I missed it.
There's a vine of it. Yeah, he goes to the GM. And he's like, "Yeah, give me my money."
Oh my God.
He didn't say that outright, but it was cold. Like
that was basically like how it was. Okay.
Give me my money.
So we're going. What are you with the Giants? You saying no? They're not on to nothing?
Nah, I'm not buying the Giants.
Okay, you're not buying. I'm straddling the Giants. I'm scissoring. I'm lesbian scissoring the Giants right now. The Cowboys are on to something, and I'm not buying the Dolphins. However, I would love for the Dolphins to get in the postseason play or at least have a winning season because
here's the thing. All these people who are obsessed about the playoffs right now, do you realize where you've come from as an organization? You were the laughing stock of the NFL. You were the Cleveland Browns of the South. Like you have people realize that you're a real team now.
Do you think they realize it? Because I still haven't seen any press on the Dolphins. No media. They're getting no attention for these 5 wins in a row.
You're correct, and that's really beginning to bother me. I'm gonna be honest with you, and it's not just because I cover the team, but I know how hard these guys have worked to pull this off, and it's not like it's been easy. It's not like they've just gone out. You know, they just won a game with their three best offensive linemen on the sidelines. Who the hell does that in the NFL?
That's because nobody cares about that. They're looking at the stats. Like, nobody's going to really actually watch film like real reporters do and say that, you know, statistically they win more games when their offensive line is intact. They don't care. They're looking at the fact that Ryan Tannehill has not had a winning season, and that's it.
Yes. And he doesn't put up fantasy numbers.
He doesn't. He's not even direct. No league that I'm in, he's even on anybody's team. No league. None of my friends' leagues. He's not even. I'm being completely honest with you. And it shouldn't matter if he's winning. Like these games he's been getting, I looked at the numbers, and he's doing the basic average shit that Ryan Tannehill does, and they're winning. That's it.
Yeah. You know what? The one thing I will give him props for is he's hitting on big plays.
He never did that before. He would have them sporadically. Every single season that I was a Dolphin, he had a run where it was like a 3-game-in-a-row type of run where he looked like he gave us hope. And then all of a sudden, he turned back into the fucking pumpkin.
Yeah. No, the play-action passing game now, he's killing that thing. He's one of the biggest big play producers in the NFL, and I never thought he had that in him.
Yeah, but timing of the big play. There's a lot that goes into big plays, Omar. We argue about this. Numbers don't impress me. What impresses me is timing of a game. When I'm watching a game and the flow of the game, because Tannehill used to have big stat numbers before, but they came when the game was already over in the fourth quarter, so it doesn't really matter. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So numbers, I that's why I'm trying not to judge too much. I only really, really judge the games I've actually seen. And I haven't seen, you know what I mean? That's just who I am. I don't look at numbers and tell you what somebody is. I don't think it's fair. It really isn't. So I didn't see that game yesterday. I'm glad they did win, but I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking it. I want to. It looked good. It got a lot of ice in it. It's cold. It's frothy. I think it's a lemon. Somebody squeezed a lemon in there because I love lemon in my Kool-Aid. But I don't know if I want to drink it yet. Not sure because the sugar, the red dye is in there, the sugar, you know, I'm on the fence.
I got to see how they respond against 49ers and with their offensive line.
The 49ers are trash.
I know, but you know you can get beat by any team in the NFL,
right?
That's
true, yeah. Is it home or road?
It's at home.
Oh, well, good. Okay.
Yeah.
So before we get into this Monday night game, because I know we've been on for an hour already, but a lot of people are wanting to know how the NFL can save the ratings. Numbers, statistics. How can they save?
Put on better primetime games. Because from what I hear, the only issue is the primetime games.
But the primetime games are drastically down.
Yeah.
And I think the reason for that is because This is a no fun league. Like, they're taking away all the things that made football. Why? The reason football is the number one sport in America is not because of talent. It is not because of skill. I know that these are the best athletes, arguably, in the world.
It's
but
not entertainment.
There's the skill level, displaying of skills is weak compared to other sports. The only people that you really, really get to see like doing something cool is the quarterback, the receiver, and then the running back for the most part. Everybody else, it's a game. You know what I'm saying? It's moving.
So hold on. You think the fact that they're taking the physicality out of the game is impacting the game?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The fact that CTE is an issue, the fact that concussions are an issue, the fact that then players are now going after people's knees because they're scared to hit them in the head. All these things are why the NFL was the number one sport in America. No one could play it. You know what I'm saying? It's like people always thought that they couldn't play it, and you're watching these big gladiators run into each other for 3 hours, slamming this shit into each other. You know, these are people try to say football is a contact sport. No, basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. That is what drove America to love this game. And then after you drive somebody into the ground, you get to celebrate it with a dance or a cheer. Now they're taking that away from them also. And it's like now there's more commercials. There's you score, there's a commercial. You kick the extra point, there's a commercial. Then you kick the kickoff, there's a commercial. You come back, like, what the fuck? Like, I'm tired. The games are too long now. It's getting longer and longer and longer, and it's still not any more skill. Like, it's skillless. You can't touch the quarterback anymore. You can't touch the receiver after 5 yards. Nobody's going across the middle getting fucked up like it used to be. It's boring. And now you don't even have to watch anymore. You could just look at the stats and see if you won your fantasy game or your FanDuel and DraftKings and all that shit.
I think that's part of the problem as well.
Yeah. They lost.
People don't care about seeing the actual games. They care about the outcome.
Yeah, the stats.
They care about. So it has to change. I don't know what can drive the ratings up. I think we're probably going to have to wait. We're having right now a knee-jerk reaction. I think we're probably going to have to wait like a season to see what's up after the election and see if the ratings are dipping again. I think maybe it's also oversaturation.
Yeah,
like,
too much.
How often can we watch football?
Jesus Christ, it's on 24/7.
Now we're going to have Saturday games, too.
You guys are reporting the statistics in practice. How many passes Tannehill misses or makes, what yardage he's throwing them at, who he's throwing them to. Can you tell me how many free throws LeBron James has missed in practice?
No.
Is anyone reporting that?
That's different, because they play 82 games.
Doesn't matter.
We got one game a
it's
week, and we
practice.
Build up
that's what I'm saying. It's fake. It's fake. They're up there 8 hours every day doing nothing. You know, I know. There's a meeting.
Yeah.
They come in. There's a team meeting. Then they break up into their position meetings. And then they come back together to talk about what they talked about in the position meetings. And then they go to lunch. And then they come back, and they break up into the special teams. And they break up into the offense and the defense. And they meet again to talk about what they talked about in the offensive meeting
don't
and the
forget,
defensive
don't
meeting.
Don't forget the film study after practice.
Then you got to study the film of everything you just practiced after practice. You come in, you meet as a unit about that. Then you meet as a position group about that. Then you come back together, and you decide what you all discussed in the position groups, like, what the fuck? You know how long basketball practice is, Omar? An hour. Maybe an hour and a half early on in the season when you're still running suicides and you're still doing some conditioning and stuff. You don't need to be up there all day. It's bullshit.
No,
they're trying to make an excuse.
I've thought that NFL does more bullshit than any other sport ever.
It's ridiculous.
And it's true. I was saying that to them because they've been on this West Coast trip, and you know, we were there with them, and I'm like, 8 hours of meetings for what?
Stupidest shit, like, I ever heard in my life. Like, what in the hell? What do you mean? I think the coaches should be doing all these meetings. I think they oversaturate the film study for players. It's like you're taking away their natural instincts and natural abilities to react when you're forcing them to watch film over and over and over. You're almost fucking up their anticipation of natural movements because you got them guessing the whole game because you're forcing film down their goddamn throat all day. It's like, you're taking away what makes them great, their instincts, their natural ability to react to a player moving. Now you got people on the line of scrimmage like on defense saying, okay, what, how they lined up? Okay. In film, when they were lined up like this, they did this route. They did this. The running back did this. And now you're trying to anticipate some shit you watched on film. And when he don't do that, you look stupid.
It's just crazy.
It's, I'm telling you, it's too much. It's too much. And I really can't wait for this league to be extinct. That's my final take on that. Fuck the NFL. Fuck them. Fuck them. As soon as my husband retired, then it needs to be extinct. Let us get our checks. But anyway, Raiders Texans today, very first Monday night football game outside of the United States. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Very first. Now, we've had a game in Mexico before. It was October 2nd, 2005, but it was not a Monday night game. It was the Cardinals and the 49ers. Have you heard about this stadium and the issues?
No, I have not.
Well, let me tell you. So the stadium, there's a Eric Winalda. He's a U.S. national soccer team member. He's not on the team anymore. He said that this Aztec Stadium is the worst place to play a sporting event in any country, in any area, whatever. He said the pollution is horrible. If it doesn't rain before the game, you're sucking wind the entire time. And there's a local sports medicine doctor. His name's Jorge Reyes. He said the athletes that play at this stadium often experience headaches, fatigue, accelerated heart rate, hyperventilation, and respiratory symptoms are also due to the elevation of the pollution. The amount of oxygen that reaches the cells decreases, leading to faster heartbeat and cardiac activity. And he said the players that will be affected the most are the big guys. 7,280 foot above sea level. Mile High is 5,280 feet above. So why are we playing? Why is there a game there when there's been all these other soccer games that have happened there and all the players hate it? And they say that, you know, all these people need oxygen. And these are, the, you know, soccer players are some of the most cardio.
Yeah.
Like they're in shape. Their cardio is usually legit. And you have soccer players dying and falling out when they play at this stadium. What's going to happen to these cheeseburger eating football players that are going to play here?
Now you got me ready to watch the game. I'm like, man, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I've never heard about that. I'm
an LA girl,
now.
So I'll be knowing stuff like this.
Yes, I know. Wow, the elevation level? I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. And the pollution.
But
the pollution, they say, is so trash. Like, you don't want to breathe that, is what they're saying. You do not want to breathe that. And we're going to have two of our NFL teams playing there on Monday night. And this is something that I'm hearing is going to become a regular thing now with the London situation. We're going to be having regular games. I'm wondering if it's going to be at this stadium every time, because the things that I'm hearing and reading is not good. It's not good for the health. But of course, we know the NFL don't care about players. So I don't know why I'm even wondering why.
Exactly. Why do you even bring it up? Because the NFL don't give two damns about it.
Is it gonna
make that bottom dollar?
Pretty much.
Everybody's going to get their $1 million check.
Right. So let's sidestep that. Let's leave that on out. Who you got, baby?
Oakland. Oakland's a hot team right now. I'm not buying Houston. And the reason I'm not buying Houston is because I don't think their offense is where it needs to be in terms of comfort, chemistry, clicking. I just don't see it. And that defense without J.J. Watt, they don't have no bite.
Well, you know, they are still doing quite well on defense, but they're not doing great running with, you know, the opposing teams rushing the ball at them.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Texans, I mean, this is how I look at any team. I look at the quarterback first. That's just who I am, and that's because that's what matters in this game. And Osweiler is not what they thought he was going. Well, maybe he is. He's what I thought he was going to be, but the contract doesn't say what it should say. Now, they do have a winning record. They're 6-3.
Average quarterback gets $90 million.
Right.
That's
right.
Just the reality of it.
They're 6-3, so they have a winning record. Why is no one buying into it? Is it just the quarterback? Is it because J.J. Watt is down? Is it because what's the receiver's name? Hopkins hasn't had two. He hasn't had two games over 60 yards yet. And last year, people was arguing with me saying he was a top five receiver in the league, and I was like, hell no. What do you think it is? Do you think it's just that the team overall is not good? Lamar Miller is I'm reading he's not handling the snap count as well. There's a couple of injuries, some shoulder things.
Yeah, shoulder injury. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they have a 6-3 record, something that a lot of teams don't have. So why aren't we on board?
Gone right for you to have a 6-3 record. Yeah. But I don't think they have any kind of offensive chemistry. They don't have any continuity on offense, and that's what's going to prevent me from buying into Houston. And I'm not saying that I'm a big believer in Oakland, but I think they've got a lot of things going in their favor, especially their offense. I like their quarterback. I like Latavius Murray. I think Oakland has all the pieces that they need to be good.
They have everything except for a good defense. They can still get to the playoffs and make some noise, but people are calling them a Super Bowl contender. Do you agree with that?
No, absolutely not.
Okay,
not close.
Because on offense, they're top five in everything: passing yards, rushing, total yards. You know, scoring. I think they're averaging 27, 28 points a game. Their defense is giving up almost 22 points a game, though. So that's where the hold is. Is the defense of the Raiders, because you can't be averaging 27 and giving up 22. Because on some days, like I said, a team's going to take something away from you, and what's your defense going to do to help you? And if they're already giving up 22 on average, with a team that's fifth in points, if they have the offense has a bad night, it could go either way with the Raiders. And they haven't been beating anybody like convincingly. All of their wins, the wins that they do have been, I think they had one game where they smacked somebody, and I believe it was Jacksonville. My memory's off. I think it was Jacksonville.
I think they might have smacked Denver. Like Denver, I was watching. That was a convincing.
No, well,
record.
That was 30-20. I just pulled it up. 30-20 is not really. I mean, it's. No, I'm not going to give them that one. I think that you gave them a credit for it because of Denver's defense, but Denver's offense is whack. They are not that great. So beating them 30-20 is a good win, but you still gave them 20 points. And I don't know. I think that the Raiders are one more year from being what they, you know, what we think they are going to be. And I think the Houston Texans are hanging on by a thread, because that division is trash. I do believe they're gonna win the division. I mean, I don't know what the Titans are doing over there, but the Titans are a team that looks like they want to take it from them. But it is the Texans or the Titans to win, and I believe the Texans do have a chance. So if they get in the playoffs, I mean, you said if you get in the playoffs, you can't take that from them. So if the Texans make the playoffs, do we all have to be quiet?
Yeah, we got to. I mean, I think they have a chance of the offense perking up in the final six games. I do believe it. The question is, can they get things into gear? And I think it's a lot easier said than done.
Okay, so I'm going with the Raiders also. Can you give me a score prediction?
I'm going with the Raiders.
Give me a score prediction.
24-17 Raiders.
I'm not really sure either one of them going to score 24, but I'm just thinking about that whole oxygen, that whole pollution. I'm a little worried about the scoring and the running and people, because I went to school in Denver for a year in college, and that altitude is legit. If people try to act like it's not a big deal, it's a big deal. It's a big fucking deal. So I'm just thinking about neither of them, you know, having the advantage with it, because neither of them, you know, play in that type of altitude. I do think that both teams are going to be a little tired. It's a Monday night game, so everybody knows a Monday night you either going to show up or you're going to get shit on. And that's how the games have been going, right?
Yeah.
You can show up or you get shit on. And if I'm right, I'm going to go 24-10. 24-10 Raiders. And that's just me giving them 24, just trying to respect the fact that they average 27 a game. I don't think the Houston Texans are going to do anything. It will be interesting to see, because I don't like the Raiders secondary. I don't like it. But like I said, Hopkins hasn't been doing anything. This would be a great opportunity for him to get out and do something special on Monday night to salvage the fact that people used to have him in the top five arguing with me about it last year. Like, everybody's going to be watching Hopkins. Come on. Push some people off and catch some balls tonight. Like you normally do. Anyway, so are you going to watch the game? Now that I've told you all these crazy stuff about the pollution and the elevation.
I'm probably going to show up for the second half.
Second half
Monday night watcher.
And you in LA too, so I feel you. You know, I got a nice TV outside. I don't know if you turned it on yet.
No, not yet.
Nice little setup out there. You might want to watch the game out there. Get you some snacks, couple drinks. My bar is stocked if you want to get you a drink.
I'm very busy in the bar.
Uh-oh, you're breaking up. What'd you say?
I've already been hitting the bar.
Sweet. All right, Omar. Well, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you, beloved.
All right.
I'll holler at you later, and have a safe trip back to the East Coast.
All right.
All right. Peace. Shout out to Omar, man. We always have really dope episodes when he and I are on. Because we're just like friends talking, you know, just having a conversation. And even though we do talk probably once or twice a week anyway, it's when we talk, it's hardly ever about sports. We always talk about food and relationships and vacations and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when we get on the mic and we talk sports, it's even better. Like, it's like so cool. Like, I don't even, I should just have a show where it's just me and Omar. I wish I could do that. But, you know, he has a real job. He has to, you know, discuss and cover the Dolphins, you know. And somebody that's come on my podcast, you got to discuss everything and everybody. And Omar ain't really ready. He ain't ready to be all the way real about everything, and I respect that, because that man got bills to pay. And as you heard, he's going through a pretty nasty divorce. So it's absolutely no shade to Omar, because I know, you know, what it's like to pay bills and shit. So I want Omar to continue to paying his bills, but hopefully one day he and I will, you know, collaborate and do something great again. And don't forget blueapron.com/Miko. 3 free meals with free shipping. blueapron.com/Miko. I appreciate you. I love you. Share my link. Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.